Welcome back. Mark Abbott's back on the show.
Welcome back. Then the dreams that are played that they talk about.
Ladies and gentlemen, Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, our MFA, and no, that doesn't mean motherfucker Abbott.
Associate.
Ladies and gentlemen, Abbott. Mark Abbott is back.
Yay!
Rejoining Denise Tapscott, Kirk Johnson, and myself, Stephen Van Patten. Mark, for the love of God, you missed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm,
even I and did. I say that knowing damn good and well you watched all the episodes, but you know, when you had a moment of free time, whenever the hell that was. But congratulations!
Right.
Thank you.
Big congratulations. I mean, we did congratulate you in person. And you know, we poured some drinks down your throat, which I think you enjoyed.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, you're back. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
We're relieved that you got through your whole scholastic
you're relieved.
Experience. Yes, I can only imagine.
Oh,
but yeah. I can honestly say the place isn't the same without you, so it is good that you have finally returned. And so real quick, how was it?
It was difficult. The last course, it was I had a thesis to do and then one more course after the thesis. I actually thought the thesis was it.
Oh, wow.
And the last course was the last 10-week intensive course about teaching and writing your own curriculum for a course. You had to come up with your own course.
Damn.
You had to come up with the curriculum pieces. You had to write each week. You had to come up with a part of the curriculum, write out the entire thing, like how you would teach it, what the students would learn, what books you would choose. So it was my mind was done when the thesis was done. Mm-hmm. So I had to, it's literally was like, now I got to go back into getting into school because the thesis part was not a class per se. It was literally, you know, 2 months of you working on your novel and submitting it in piecemeal to the instructor. But this was back to every week you have an assignment, you got to get online, you got to talk to students, the whole thing.
Gosh.
So it was one of those things where once I was done, you know, you kind of it takes a moment to realize that it's done, it's finished. You can kind of breathe a sigh of relief. And then it feels odd because now I don't have anything to do on Monday nights. Monday nights was sitting down and planning out the week and all of the assignments and getting ready for whatever needs to be done.
Wait. You have something to do on Mondays. You have Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans.
Yeah, man. What's up with that? Professor Mark.
Oh, no.
Ain't black people in this book you want to read?
Stone face.
Academically speaking.
Oh, shit.
Oh no!
Here we go.
He's gonna start that every sentence. Academically speaking,
academically speaking. But I mean, that was the thing. It's just sort of like now it's over. Now the second half begins. Now the second half is applying the MFA to everything that I'm going to be planning to do. So, I'm ready to move into that next phase.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have a graduation coming up in 2 months.
Yay.
And I should be getting my diploma any day now. Looking forward to that, you know.
Yeah, man.
And just kind of, you know, that's 3.5 years of work that suddenly are over. So
wow.
You know, yeah.
I got it now for real, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Seriously. Especially
sticking with it and keeping going and knocking that shit out, man.
Yeah.
And mind you, holding down a full-time job.
At the same time, yes.
And
a wife.
And a wife and child.
Mm-hmm.
A wife and child.
A lot of work.
A lot
so,
of work.
the most important thing you must remember, though, when you get that job at the university and you got tenured, if your homeboy brings a crate in from some unknown place that he was experimenting or doing an expedition on.
You mean not, the one under the steps?
Yeah, just go home.
I'll call Steven. Steven to come down here and be like, something's cooing under the stairs.
Whoa. Why are you calling me?
Vampire.
That's all well and good, but
that's a creep show reference right there. Why are you calling that man? Why?
because Steven is the guy that will show up with a pad and pen and be like, so what did you find? Uh-huh. And what's it called? Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I got this short story I got to work on for this anthology. Right? So, yeah.
With a sword in his back.
The weapons. Why don't you call me?
I have swords. You have the bow and arrow situation.
He has an arsenal.
Right.
Yeah, I have an arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And cats.
And cats.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Mine doesn't work well with others. So yeah. we would probably have to go with Kirk's cats.
Yeah, those are the allergy cats. Those are the ones with all that hair all over them. They run up against something. The creature probably sneezed to death before you.
Creep show 4, ladies and gentlemen. The allergies that kill. Right?
Yeah, that's what you name it. You just name it
Achoo. Yes. Achoo and I sneeze.
Hey-o.
Two for one. Two for one.
And then we'll get...
He's here all week, folks.
We'll get what's his name? Morgan Freeman to come in. And unbeknown to the creature under the stairs, allergies killed it. Because man had built up his own immunity to the cat hair. My name is Morgan Freeman.
And what you want to do right here is give this motherfucker some Sudafed.
Shit, Dolomite? Oh, shit. Dolomite just... The ghost of Dolomite just joined us, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Dolomite.
Dolomite.
This motherfucker here.
Sucker. So yeah, it is great to have Mark back. The fearsome foursome I should say is in full effect.
Very proud of him.
Speaking of fearsome, let's talk House of Dragons.
Ooh.
So in the immortal words of Kirk Johnson, there are black people in it.
Yes, there are.
A big, big change.
Magilla. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big Magilla. It's a big Magilla nowadays.
And it's actually a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like a whole bunch.
And they're not just slaves. They're not like the Unsullied. Like, oh, look. These are people in power that have influence.
Right.
Some are shady. Like, yeah.
It's crazy. It was kind
of. I love it.
We have Lord.
If you live in Texas, they got it's a tribe, pretty much. If you're a MAGA head, you calling them a tribe. And it's just a family of like three of them.
Right. Yeah.
But like there's when they had like the jousting, you still see them like in the audience. So, yeah, like they're cool. Around. They're like regular free people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I gotta say, I was surprised. Like at first I was kind of like, forgive me. I was like, oh man, you're gonna just throw black folks in there just to, you know, I was kind of skeptical, like on front. I was real skeptical.
Of course.
And but this,
you know, the history
YouTube.
Of the country. I mean, you know, of course.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, read the books and everything. So not the books, but I say read the story that's based on.
Oh yeah.
But this cat on YouTube brought up such a great point about the existence of black folks and Valeria. Because all right, so Valeria is supposed to be kind of like the Rome Empire of Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Right. And everyone knows the empire, and it was also multicultural and multi-ethnic. And we never, I do honestly believe this is a thing where we are so conditioned for, if characters aren't described in terms of their race or color, mm-hmm. we will by default code them as white. Mm-hmm. By default.
Yeah.
And that's something that we've been, conditioned to just read.
Absolutely.
Right? Everybody's white because nobody's saying anything about their color. But when the dude brought out that, you know, it is so possible that, you know, the Summer Isles and Valeria are that close to each other. They're literally, if you look at the map, they're literally as close to Dorne as you would imagine it. They're almost in the middle of the Narrow Sea, like south mm-hmm. and between. So they're between.
So it's kind of like Manhattan and Brooklyn.
Right. They're literally right there. And mm-hmm. if you're talking about, you know, the Summer Isles being great for their sailing vessels mm-hmm. and their trade networks, then you know they're going to be there. They're going to be been there from jump.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be a part of the culture of Valeria because they're traders. And as traders do, they set up shop. They, you know, take care of the trade and commerce of the nation, blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. it's totally possible. So after a while, I was like, oh, shit, that makes absolute all the sense in the world. Mm-hmm. Because they're not of the Valerian. They're not the Valerian high houses. They were just a merchant house that got rich. And that totally explained it. And they married into the high house. They married into mm-hmm. Targaryen family. Mm-hmm. And that's how they explained it. And I was like, oh, shit, this made more sense. I'm all after that point. I was like, yeah, I'm all for it. I'm good. And I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I would have changed, instead of getting them dreadlocks, I would have hooked up their hair a little bit. Like, all right. Peter Brooks, a British director, did the Mahabharata with a multi-ethnic cast. Mm-hmm. And he gave this one British Trinidadian actor, the character of Karna, which is like a major character in the Mahabharata. And he had cornrows. Mm-hmm. And he was badass with these cornrows in. Because he had it where it was long, so it came down past his shoulders. So it looked like dreads, but it was just badass. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, if they didn't give them dudes cornrows, that shit would have made motherfuckers more mad, but that shit would look badass as fuck. Silver ass cornrows. For the men, I mean, not for the women. The women didn't have to.
Wigs are harder to do. Like, you look at the guy in The Walking Dead, when he had the dreadlocks. I mean, mm-hmm. He had the cornrows. But, like, when you see him behind the scenes, it looks so fake. I don't know if they could pull it off.
Did.
Yeah.
I feel if as long as you have, like, you grow out your hair like an afro and you cornrow like regular, but you just have the extensions in the back. Yeah. What are we going to see? I figured that was my thing. But other than that, though, I'm totally cool with them, with the dreads and the fighting, and I'm all in. Mm-hmm. I'm cool. Mm-hmm. It's nice. Mm-hmm. And the dragons is bad as fuck.
The dragons. That's my favorite part. I was concerned that we weren't really going to see them until like the second or third or fourth episode.
But you see, like, right out of the yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, yes. Yeah. I was so excited. Yeah. You know,
that shit real fast.
Awesome. Yes.
Like, and they said, yeah.
Well, I mean, dragons? That does make sense. Yeah. It's like, we know what the dragons look like, so it's not like a suspense build. So you might as well just launch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Right.
Cool. Well, the cool thing is they gave, like, the dragons are like dogs. Like, there's so many mm-hmm. different variety of looks and species of dragons. Like, one of them actually has like another flap of wings on its hind legs.
Mm-hmm.
Daemon's dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you look at it, it is so much more sleeker than Drogon. And it has a set of wings on the back of his legs. And I was like, oh, this shit is so fucking hot.
Is that Carafax? Mm-hmm. Is that the name of that dragon?
Carafax? Or Varix or some shit like that.
Yeah.
you know, I'll give them my own names. But yeah, that shit was, I'm just saying.
No, the dragon situation is quite hot. Getting back to the hair thing for a second. I mean, honestly, I'm just relieved that it looks halfway decent.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing I will always resent is Halle Berry's first wig as Storm.
Oh, man.
Like, that is the epitome of y'all just refuse to give Black people a job. Mm-hmm. Because a Black hairdresser would have made that look so much better.
Yeah.
So much better. And they kind of went and experimented and did some other shit. And they did this like half-assed version of the Mohawk.
Right.
I think that was the third X-Men movie. They just, they're just doing all the Alexandria ship.
Right. Alexandria ship. I like her Mohawk. Mm-hmm. I like her Mohawk.
Everything was better than the first wig.
Yeah. They got a Halloween store or something.
Exactly.
Yes.
You went to Ricky's. All right, Halle, here you go. It's like
right. Actually, I think they did a better job with Bishop's dreads than he did with Halle's wig.
Yes. Yeah,
that was probably Days of Future Past. But that was probably his real hair.
Nah, yeah. That's the dude. That's the brother from Lupin on Netflix.
Oh.
Omar Sy. Omar
Sy.
Okay. He never had dreads. Nah.
No.
They hooked that. Like, he brought his family in from Senegal to do that shit for him.
Oh, shit.
They can do that at the brain shop. Again, they can do that too.
Again, better idea than what they were doing with Halle's hair. It's like one minute she's Tina Turner.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the next minute, it's like, I don't know. It's just like I was.
Yeah.
What you do?
Right. I was disappointed. But this.
Everyone's disappointed.
But House of Dragons hair, I have to admit, I have no idea if they hired. I'd have to get on the IMDb page and figure out like who's in charge of Steve Toussaint's hair.
Yeah.
But it looks amazing, and it does. And one other thing I wanted to say, because there's a meme going around which is brilliant, and it's from the first episode, and it's when Rhaenyra is running around, you know, as the cupbearer, and she's filling everybody's cup.
Oh, right.
When she gets to him, he's like, he holds his hand. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And the meme read, you know, this might be the blackest moment on Game of Thrones with my man refusing to get drunk in front of white people. Yo. I saw that. And I was hilarious. Literally screaming.
I
don't rock with y'all like that.
I'm still trying to figure out. I have yet to see a TV show or a movie where if the good king isn't murdered within the first 10-15 minutes of the thing.
Mm.
I've never seen more incompetent kings in fantasy stuff in the last 30 years. I understood the Steward of Gondor. Okay, that I understood.
Right.
But even like, y'all are supposed to, like, at some point in a king's life, he was in war. He was in a battle. He was in a fight somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right. At
some point, he had some form of combat. May not have been a big battle or anything, but prior to be taking the throne, because normally the king doesn't go out unless, you know, we didn't get to the point where he needs to.
Right.
Yeah.
But I have never seen any more backwards tacticians in my life than on this show. Now, I'm sitting there trying to figure this out.
Mm.
So your wife and child are die.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
The hand of the king decides, I'm gonna try to slide in there by sending my daughter in. Your brother left and made it very clear, I'm gonna take this throne, either by birthright or by force.
Right.
Your man comes in and says, hey, I know my daughter is 12, but all you need to do is wait it out and bear some children and you'll be straight.
Right.
your own counsel told you, you are better off keeping him close to your side than doing anything else.
Right.
And your decision is because I'm caught up in my feelings. I'm going to pick this chick over here.
Allison. Yeah.
Then you send the hand of the king to go and talk to your angry brother about giving back an egg with no dragon.
Nope.
Because I'm sitting there like, y'all do know he has a dragon.
Right.
Like that's
and his. They were walking, like they didn't even have horses. I was like, they did a lot of walking.
My man's sitting on the side of the castle chilling. When y'all walked up, like, who this? It's like, you know, had it not been for the princess showing up, because she basically told him. And then she punks him in front of his own men.
Yep.
Because basically, not only do you not know what you're doing, but he wasn't going to listen to you anyway. You came in here, you know, he is, you know, when people say what the definition of something should look like?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He is the poster child of what take that bass out your voice looks like. Because you went in there talking a lot of crap while the dragon is sitting up there and he got this mad tag group of gold capes who basically snatched everybody up. And I'm like, what
you come with gold? Right, you coming with Kingsguard, he got roughnecks.
and then you're like, you know what? Your daughter shouldn't. You're basically, she's nothing more than the kid in the mailroom who hangs out on the main floor and hears all the gossip. Because basically, you know, and you're like, you know what? She shouldn't be in here. Send her outside and let her pick one of the guards.
To be
the king guard. And then she's like, yeah, I'm gonna pick the guy that knows how to fight.
Exactly.
Who's been in a battle. I mean,
who took down my brother.
Exactly.
It's like,
my cousin.
And then says to the hand of the king, shouldn't we?
doesn't that make more sense?
I'm not understanding how you got your job because
the only thing I was going to add also is, first of all, if she's supposed to be being groomed, she should have been in that meeting regardless of what she was saying.
Right.
Yep. So again, I mean, and the thing is, they are putting big emphasis on the sexism of the day, of the time, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But even that was just like, okay, that's just if she's being groomed, she needs to be there while he's making decisions. And then they have a parlay by themselves. Well, dad, why did you do this? Dad, why did you do that? And you got these motherfuckers talking about, let her pick a guard. And then on top of that, going to be sly and try to tell her who to pick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And it's like, and she sunned him. She completely sunned him on that.
She sure did. She sure did.
And in keeping with what you just said, Stephen, there's also about not only the sexism, but the role minorities play. Because in a way, the women are the minority.
Oh, yeah.
And my man was like, she's making more sense in this room right now than y'all are.
Y'all.
The brother had to tell him this. She's like, the princess is making the most sense in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So now basically, you done piss your daughter off. You done piss your cousin off. You got your brother mad at you. This ain't going to bode well. And I'm thinking, if the hand of the king actually thinks that his daughter marrying the king is going to elevate him, normally, in most stories, you're the first one to get beheaded when the throne changes hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Usually you're the guy they carry
out. We saw that in Game of Thrones, right?
Well, that's the thing where he's from what I read in the stories, you know, Otto has been with the family from jump. Like he was with the first king. That's why his inn is so secure because he took it, you know, he was the hand of the first of his father, Aegon. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to keep him because he's, you know, he's been there. He's been pretty much, he's been in that same seat for a long, he's been in that seat since the great piece that Aegon brought in, right? Mm-hmm. After Maegor, mm-hmm. Aegon brought in this great piece, and they were talking about how the land was peaceful and bountiful this whole time. And that dude, the Hand of the King, Otto's been there from that since then. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're going to keep him.
Which is why he needs to lose his job.
Right. Well, he needs to lose his job, but that's, he knew that if Daemon got the seat, he would definitely have lost his job.
Oh, right? Yeah, for sure.
And he knows if Rhysenia gets her seat, he'll probably keep it. But if he can get his daughter to bring the king to get his son, he's not only secure, he becomes like Tywin Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
Tywin Lannister has Joffrey as the king, and then the king ain't the power, it's the guy sitting next to the king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it plays out, and you'll see what he does a lot in the third mm-hmm. episode.
Mm-hmm.
That has little finger. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of just a little,
but it would, yeah, you're right. It was like shadows of that.
Yeah,
but remember what happened to Littlefinger.
Well,
oh yeah,
that we'll eventually get to a point where somebody in the room is gonna be like,
I ain't gonna spoil.
You know, he's you know,
yeah, don't spoil it.
He's that character. He's that character that's probably gonna last if this show keeps going. He's that guy that's going to last for like 6 seasons, and we're going to be like, why is he not dead yet?
Right.
Why is he not?
I'll say this. In the course of the show, you'll see why he has not died yet. Why he's like, he's that close, but never mm-hmm. so close. Mm-hmm. And it's really like, I read it in Dangerous Women. It was an anthology, and George Martin contributed the Princess and the Queen, which is the tale of the Dance of Dragons.
Right.
Ooh.
And when I read this back in, I want to say when Game of Thrones was out.
Mm.
So when Game of Thrones was out and they had, you know, Dangerous Women, that shit is such a great story. And I always imagined that probably should have been what they started with and then go to Game of Thrones.
Mm.
Because
what is it called again?
It's, well, now they reissued it as Fire mm-hmm. and Blood 300 years ago, and they reissued it. So the Dance of Dragons is discussed in detail.
Mm-hmm.
And I shit you not, you will see dragons.
Okay.
You will see bloodshed.
Okay.
You will see what a civil war between dragon lords looks like.
Oh, wow.
And there will be some surprises there. When I read it, I was like, oh shit, I didn't realize this was a thing.
Go home with your lady wife.
I'll just say this, Targaryen bastards ain't like other bastards. I'll just say that. Targaryen bastards ain't like other bastards. They got some other shit going on. So I'm gonna
say it. So to paraphrase George Clooney, they're not just bastards, they're fucking bastards.
It's some bloody bastards, I'll just say that.
Alright.
It's I mean, if they're gonna, if it looks like they're gonna follow the what was written,
mm-hmm.
fill in blanks in terms of emotional impact and motivations and things like that.
Sure.
Because Fire and Blood is written kind of like a history book.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Right. So we get like a dramatization of that.
Mm-hmm.
If they're gonna follow, man, we in for a fucking ride for real. For
yay! Real. I'm glad to hear that.
It's gonna be crazy, crazy.
Awesome.
Yep.
So I'm keeping my good eye on the queen that never was. Like, she's trying to pull some strings in the background too.
Yo, keep your eye on her. Keep your eye on Daemon too.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we know. Yeah, we know Daemon.
When he threw the egg to what's her name?
Yeah, he chucked it back to
Rhaenyra.
To Rhaenyra.
Yes.
Take your egg.
Man. And she's like, I got it.
You know what? I ain't going to say no more.
Take your raggedy ass egg.
Yes,
right there.
Ain't nobody want this egg anyway.
Anyway.
You take it. I was just playing. Y'all over here getting all serious.
Look, I'm just glad there's some black people for us to cheer for.
Yeah.
Even though, I got to admit, Corlys, you know, when he started up his old thing and then goes to talk to Damon and the whole thing, yeah. I'm just like, my man, are you really trying to make all 10 episodes here? Like, what are we doing?
Right, right.
Because normally we don't get away with shit like that. even though according to the IMDb page, which is a kind of a way to spoil it for myself, but not spoil it, apparently he's in all 10 episodes. So I'm like,
oh, nice.
Okay.
And he was in Prince of Persia.
Mm-hmm. Which I didn't see because
he was the big brother with the knives.
I saw part of it, but
I didn't see that because Jake Gyllenhaal is a Persian person. Right. I mean, that's like right under John Wayne
as Genghis Khan. Yeah, that's right. It's right under that, and right
which I also did not watch.
Right, me neither.
It literally started coming on one night, like 2 a.m. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck am I seeing?
Right next to Mickey Rooney playing Japanese guy.
And then there's Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Or maybe the one I watched last night, which I did not realize when I was a kid, the fiendish plot of Dr. Fu Manchu.
Oh, shit.
Peter Sellers plays Fu Manchu. And I did not realize that. Well, when I was a kid, when the movie came out, my father got mad about it because he grew up. Well, you know, Fu Manchu did some, you know, did some things. But I was like, huh. Peter Sellers
and Christopher Lee.
That's it.
And Christopher Lee.
Although,
love Christopher Lee.
Although I give what's his name credit as Ming the Merciless.
Max von Sydow.
Max von Sydow. Like he wasn't playing when he took that role. He was like, y'all ain't gonna make me do a caricature of him, and although Joel Grey in Remo Williams.
I forgot about that.
We still walk in a fine line there, but still he didn't portray it as
a caricature.
I mean, it's not saying that y'all couldn't find an actual Asian person to play that role.
An actual Korean actor.
I mean, you already had the title character as somebody famous. I mean, usually that's why they do that, because they're like, we need a name on the poster for people to come to see the movie.
Well, at least that's the excuse.
Or the excuse that they use. But
they couldn't at least use like half the actors from Big Trouble in Little China.
Big Trouble in Little China. Right. It looked like half the actors from that were in Fu Manchu for a minute. So they're all playing the army, but they're not playing like the actual characters. Title role in the film. Right, you're like, okay. So
Hollywood, we ain't forget about that shit. That's why we bring it up.
That's right.
Keep doing better.
We actually have one that's sadly recent.
Which one?
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
In Marvel. As the ancient one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I tell you, the easiest way to get through that too, if you wanted to add like diversity and women, is you could have literally made the ancient one an Indian actress. You could have actually used an Indian actress in that role.
Yeah.
That would have totally been fine. You didn't have to go Tilda.
Yeah.
Tilda.
You already have the star power with Cumberbatch.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
I mean.
And everybody loves Wong. So.
Yeah. Do better, Hollywood. Yeah.
What was the meme that I showed? It was either Kirk or Steven I showed him, or both of you I showed. It was a meme that somebody said it was Robert Downey Jr. in the Black Panther outfit, but playing the character from Tropic Thunder.
Oh shit!
And it was like they hired Robert Downey Jr. to be in Black Panther 2. And I said they should do that as a what if, and have that character actually playing a movie version, like they're shooting a movie,
right,
of Black Panther, and have him plant and have like the Wakandans like, what the hell are y'all doing? And then and just have him literally quote, I'm the dude playing the dude that's playing another dude. Oh, it's like,
you know, it'd be great also just like have a pan, a slow pan to the black crew members kind of just standing like this. Ain't this a shame?
Mm-hmm. It's like
this is some bullshit.
These motherfuckers here. That would have been hilarious.
Or hit him with some Jim Kelly. Man, you come right out of a comic book.
Yeah, right.
That would actually be the perfect quote for that. Like, you coming straight out of a comic book.
Comic book.
I know, right?
Yeah, I have DJ Squalls as a director.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Well, speaking of cultural appropriation, She-Hulk is twerking.
Yeah.
You know what? We like all went silent.
I don't know why we went silent, but... it's like, so you got the sensitive folks... I guess they're been out of shape.
Mad sensitive about that shit. Yep.
You know, and of course,
but like, it was. Go on.
No, and I mean, it wasn't like. I mean, it look, we've all seen a plethora of music videos come and go in these past years, and that was not what that was.
Right.
Everybody's got on like business skirts.
Yeah, and it wasn't till like the very end of the episode. Right,
it was an after credits thing.
Even in the whole episode. So for people to get so bent out of shape, it's like, you guys.
And we know that She-Hulk is one of the characters that has a lot of fun with what she is becoming, what she does. And she's known like not to have to change who she is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now she's a Hulk, right?
Yeah, like she wanted to walk into the office just regular and like, no, you got to show up as a She-Hulk. Mm. So she has certain standards that they're trying to hold her to, but she's still trying to be herself. Mm. So she has like that internal fight, which I think is really cool. And then people are upset because she's twerking at the end with Megan Thee Stallion. Really? Really? That's all you see the whole episode? Mm-hmm. That's what you got?
I mean, that was so bad. Like, I saw that before I watched the episode. And at first, when I saw the freeze frame, I was like, is that real? Or did somebody?
Was that real?
You talking about Megan Thee Stallion, daddy?
came right out of the clouds. Like,
right.
Like right out of the ether. You talking about Megan Thee Stallion, daddy?
For those of you that are just listening to us as opposed to can actually see us, Dr. Abbott has got a visitor.
Dr. Abbott.
From his lovely
beautiful daughter.
Daughter. Mm-hmm. Who will probably inherit this show. She'll probably change the name of it. But anyway.
I actually thought it was a doctored picture. Like I thought somebody, like at first I didn't realize that this was a thing. Mm-hmm. So then when I watched the episode, like when the episode ended, I was like, okay, so where did they get that from? Because this wasn't in the episode. Then it's an after credits thing. I was like, are y'all seriously going to sit here and tell me that y'all have spent an entire week bitching over an after credit thing? Yeah. Something most of y'all would have never seen if you didn't think to sit there and watch past the regular credits anyway.
How about that?
Who cares? Right. I'm like that's not even a
thing. Like they should be more excited like they brought Abomination back and like the whole that whole thing. That was cool.
And I love the fact that when they brought Abomination back, when she went to talk to Bruce, he goes, I was a different man then. And I
was a different man.
And I suddenly wow. Cause it was Ed Norton who played him.
Yeah.
And he was like, in more ways than one. I was like, yeah, if you've never seen that Hulk movie, you don't get the joke behind it.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
We got Wong making his appearance.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Who is late. to the room.
Howie, like, he was drinking too. No commute time.
He looked like he was drinking and everything. He was like, I was at the bar.
And then the way he just left.
Yeah, then he just
was like, he was like, you know, you committed a felony, gotta go. And he's just like,
that probation board got me hot.
But you know who the probation board reminded me of, though? The film we just shot with Steven.
Oh. I didn't think of that. I didn't think of that.
That one sister sitting at the end. I'm really enjoying this. I mean, it's a great show. It's a lot of fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously.
Let's be honest. She's breaking a fourth wall, like.
Yeah.
Yo, right. I'm sorry, but the shape shifting Asgardian.
Asgardian.
She got up there with the judge's gavel. It's just like, hey, I decided to change my ruling. They're like, what are you doing? Yeah. You can't do that.
I did that. Yeah, that was
actually. Yeah, that was funny.
What about Megan Thee Stallion a passat?
A passat.
Yeah, right.
Megan Thee Stallion, a passant.
You think she'd really good. Date you?
Right.
But you know what? I love the fact that that was the defense, because he was like, would you be prepared to testify that in court? Because it's like, you were so full of yourself, you actually would have believed that you met the Megan Thee Stallion. And she was.
She wanted to date you.
For real.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying the show. I really am. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I still think they need to do a what you call it though.
What?
From
a what if?
No. They need to do a show with. Why am I forgetting the characters' names now? From WandaVision, the FBI agent.
Chow.
Yes. Chow? Yeah. They need to do a TV show with him
and Marcy.
Darcy.
Yeah. They need to do a show with the two of them and then have Wong jump in and out every so often.
That would be fun.
Just do like an entire sidekicks series where they just randomly all work together to do something.
They got it fixed up.
Fixed up.
Also, why do they keep bringing up the fact that the Avengers don't make any money?
I like that too, though. I like that. She's like, do they have a health plan? No, they don't. Ask Sam.
I think that is so. I think that is so pertinent.
Yeah,
that is so for real.
Right.
Because you know
they ain't getting paid. Come on now.
That is so for real.
Yeah,
it's a fair point.
It is. It's pretty much like, hey, you know. You guys talk about all this extra cool stuff, but you know, we are actually human beings still and
need to make money.
You need to, because you won't let us have shit for free. So,
I like that she's in Los Angeles too, because everything is always on your side of the world. So it's kind of cool to see her over here
on the West Coast.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the rest.
You have the Ant-Man in the Wild.
Yeah, but that's San Francisco.
No.
It's a California thing.
I was about to say that's some West Coast.
With the Northern California and Southern California, there's always this thing. I'm from Northern California. I'm from San Francisco, so San Francisco people, they're more like intellectual. They want to know how smart you are. Whereas LA people, they're like looking at your shoes. What kind of car do you have? More about the entertainment and all of that. So the two clash. So
that tracks.
That's San Francisco. No,
actually,
LA.
You know what?
That's
New York and New York. I'm about to say.
Like New York City and the rest of the state.
And this
right, like Buffalo, Albany.
You say, I'm from New York. Where are you from? Syracuse. Ain't the same thing.
Right.
And I would tell somebody that in a minute. I really would. And I'm not even that guy, but I'll be like
there's like a classic argument. Like, you know, New York has a real team. It's the Buffalo, you know,
Buffalo Bills.
And New York is like, no, they're not. The Jets and the Giants are a team. Them niggas stadiums in New Jersey.
Jersey. They're playing in Jersey. I have yet to meet anybody. I mean, I haven't met anybody in Staten Island who's claiming the Buffalo Bills. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Like, not having anything to do with it.
Right.
Like those motherfuckers,
it's like the Mets versus the Yankees, right?
Like they might as well be playing for Canada,
right?
That was like the year the Bills played the. They went to the Super Bowl twice.
Hence the Ice Cube lyric.
Beat.
I won't choke like the Buffalo Bills
because they got beat by the Giants. And then I remember they went to play.
They play the Patriots.
I don't know if in the Super Bowl, but the one year they played the Cowboys, and I was like, I have no one to root for. I was in Atlanta, and I was like, I have no one to root for. And they was like, what about Buffalo? I'm like, what about them? They're like, aren't they a New York team? Oh shoot, that's right, they are from New York. go Bills.
Pick your poison.
Regular listeners are like, wait, they're talking about football right now?
Yes.
Yeah, we're
and football stress next.
We're a diverse little group. Yes, don't I know it?
Right.
Oh my god. But yeah, nobody cares about the Buffalo Bills.
No.
I appreciate him now.
You appreciate?
You appreciate him now.
Why?
Because they are a New York team. Because they still play on New York soil, and it's kind of like, yeah.
Right. Even though it's like, I don't know, it's that part of New York that still votes Republican too. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's like, although I'm not a huge ice hockey fan, we always forget the Islanders. It's always about the New York Rangers. And they're like, you know, we have another team, right?
Right.
The New York Islanders.
Actually, I know some Islanders fans.
You know. Wow. No, I know a lot of Islanders fans, too. I mean, they're also Mets fans. So,
yeah.
So there it is. So
as a matter of fact,
it's gotcha.
As a matter of fact, you are absolutely right.
Mets fans.
If you are not a bandwagon fan, you are a fan of the Mets, the Islanders, the Mets, the Nets, the Jets, the Islanders.
Yo,
basically any team that you might suspect has a legit curse.
Mm-hmm.
is what you just listed, basically. Yes.
They are the cursed team. Oh my shit, man.
Like somewhere along the way, Maleficent or somebody got to those motherfuckers. Like, okay. Oh, you gonna fuck up my spread? I see how we gonna do this.
Yo, damn cats make me cry every time they go, hey, the Jets are gonna make it this year.
Make it to the couch to watch the game. Make it to the golf course.
Oh shit.
Those dudes are probably like having a conversation with their wives. All right, yeah, I'm going to spring training. The wife's like, yeah. Why?
Right.
Why? Right.
Checks in the mail.
Yeah,
checks in the mail.
But that's the testament of a true fan, because you got to be able, you got to love your team to like stick with them through hell and high water, because people do that. People will jump ship real quick to be on the side of the winning team, and if the Mets went to the World Series. Then everybody in New York City is a Met fan all
over. Right.
Like, really, yep. Yankee fan?
Right.
Except for the Yankee fans who believe they are actually part of the Yankees. Because you don't own a stake in the team and you don't play for them. So you getting into fist fights with people over the Yankees, right. I'm like... Mm-hmm. If you want to tell me that you're a true Yankee fan, tell me wherever you were after years after Reggie Jackson was gone.
Ooh.
And the Yankees couldn't buy a championship. all through the dark ages of the 80s.
We went there. Wow.
No, I'm dead serious. Because
yeah. You're a Mets fan? Are you a Mets fan? Burning.
Yeah. No, I'm a Mets fan. Trust me. As a Mets fan, what do I have? 86? The 86. We always default to that one. And then when they played the Yankees in 2000, the Subway Series, which we had, which was a dream come true for me because I always wanted to see those two teams in the World Series. But I knew. I mean, I was like, it's going to be a good game, but the Yankees, they still had a stronger and better team.
The Mets are like House Gardner in Game of Thrones. People are like, the who?
Yeah.
No, you know who they
are. We know the Tyrells, but we don't know who the fuck the Gardners are.
No, the Mets are, and I love my team, but they're like the orphans in the Warriors.
Oh.
they write about us in the paper.
Yeah, I did.
He did
freeze.
He was like,
You froze for me, Steven.
Oh, so I did.
Welcome right. back.
Thanks. You know, and I've known Yankee fans who, when faced with the option of rooting for the Mets or rooting for another team, like, say, Boston. Ooh. Which is supposed to be like their mortal fucking enemies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They'll sit there and root for Boston. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
yeah.
Wait. So first of all, let's put it to dollars and cents. Anytime your team in your state, whatever state, anytime your team gets into playoffs and championship mode, your city makes money. Mm-hmm. All those cats that work in those stadiums part-time and all that, they get all that extra work. TV guys get extra work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing. Motherfuckers don't care.
They don't care. Like, I'm an Oakland A's fan, and if I have to choose between, like, the Giants and some other team, I'm not cheering for San Francisco Giants. Boo! to the end. All we have is that 1988 World Series where we won. Yeah.
She's like, we got three teams, the Giants, the A's, and the Dodgers.
The Rams.
The Dodgers. Well, baseball.
Dodgers and Angels, actually.
Yeah. And then, oh, wow, you completely left both those teams out.
Well, she's like, if I had an A's fan.
She's at between Oakland.
I got to admit, I forgot about the Angels.
Everyone forgets about the Angels.
The Angels, the who?
The LA Angels of Anaheim?
It was Anaheim for a minute.
Yeah, they were, because they're close to Disneyland, but now they're just LA. Right. I think they're going to try to sell them. They're thinking about it.
Oh, shit.
Nobody cares. Like, you rarely meet Angels fans. Like, here in LA,
I know one. I know an Angels fan. She is the lead stage manager on the Tonight Show.
You notice he said one.
Well, I mean, I am in New York. Jesus.
Whoa.
And she's and she's like an implant from Cali. So
yeah.
Is she perpetually sad all the time? Is she, she always
they're delusional. They have that little rally monkey.
Does she drink her sorrows away at night?
They are proud of that rally monkey.
Yes, I have seen a rally monkey or two in my day. I think she's, you know, she, like Mark. Mark is resigned to his fate as far as being a Mets fan, as I think other people do the same thing.
He said resigned to his fate. I'm like, that nigga get burnt by a dragon and shit.
Mets to the end.
Mookie!
You gotta believe.
Oh my God.
Yeah, my poor Oakland A's. Oh, yeah, they're like 41-90 or something. They're not doing good at all this season.
Damn.
See,
that damn money ball, too. Ugh.
And what you call it's funny, because the Jets, the last thing I heard about the Jets, they was like, It's preseason and they're undefeated. I'm like, yeah, here we go.
Enjoy what you can. Wait,
you know who does that too? The Cowboys.
Yes.
That shit just started. Undefeated.
Undefeated. Just started. But the season hasn't.
I can't stand the Cowboys.
Well, no. They were fake. You remember there was that one period in the 80s when we were growing up. It was all about the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. They were on everything from the Love Boat to Fantasy Island.
Yes.
It's like,
man, I gotta show y'all a clip of Stephen A. Smith. Every time they talk about the Cowboys, he brings up the pictures of when the Cowboys lost the playoffs. Mm-hmm. People's crying in the stands. And Stephen A. Smith put that clip on. He just started laughing at him.
Oh,
like people look at the sister. Look at the sister. She throwing him. look at him. He just lost his girlfriend. Yo, and he invited him. He was out. Stephen A. Smith. They went out to Dallas like last week, I think, or two weeks ago, and invited them to come to the rally, the show, so he can laugh at him.
That's terrible,
man.
Oh, damn.
That's it.
That was awesome. Holy show! I watched.
How about them boys?
The show.
But I remember, there's nothing funnier than a sports rivalry, though, because it's like watching Atlanta. Is it Atlanta? And it's the Falcons and
the Saints, sir. Oh, New Orleans Saints. Sake. Who that nation? Who that?
I was in Atlanta and was like, which team plays here? Because it seemed like there was more Saints fans in the bar than people who were rooting for the Falcons.
Saints fans run deep. They do.
They do.
I went to a Charger game and there was more Saints fans than Chargers.
Or the year was it the Saints? No, it was the Falcons when they lost to New England.
To the Patriots.
To the Patriots.
Because they were up 28-3 and lost that damn
game. Oh, I remember that fucking game. Yeah.
28-3.
Halftime.
And they still choked.
Mm-hmm. And what was horrible was like the next week, there was an article in somebody posted this article from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about one of the highways collapsed. And somebody wrote under that, well, at least the Falcons ain't the only thing collapsing in Atlanta.
Oh, man, Falcons. Ugh. Oh, don't get me started.
That hurts.
That nation, man.
Atlanta Falcons.
New Orleans Saints. Yeah, those trash. Falcons are trash. I said it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Say it again.
Trash. Say it again.
Trash.
Trash. Well, I have to admit, this episode took an interesting turn.
It sure did.
Because honestly, I would have never started a sports conversation because I'm like,
especially with Mark.
Well, you know,
he's a professor.
That's true. You remember StokerCon?
That's the StokerCon residual rubbing off on me. Remember that floor that I stayed on? my personal nightmare floor.
Yes! The doors are open.
The
doors open. Phil Simms is standing there.
There's a football. There's a football. A basketball.
What's messed up is I didn't see any other horror writer on that floor but me. I didn't run into nobody at breakfast. No one coming back from a late night dinner. People, we get on the elevator, they're like, what floor are you on? 14. They hit 14 and everybody got off at 13 or something else, and I'm like, riding by myself all the way up to the sports floor. I'm like,
only one that gets off. And here we are talking about football.
Baseball, hockey, and
and dragons.
And the ironic thing, I just got an email from CBS. And, you know, those of you that don't know, I cover a football show on Sundays when football season is in play. And it was basically the basic crux of the email was forbidding us from sports gambling.
Yeah, I got that too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, There it is. Well, and that's the thing. It never really occurred to me, honestly, it never really occurred to me to use what I'm hearing mm-hmm. on that or the pregame show from a betting standpoint. Because mm-hmm. half the time I get there and they go over what their predictions were from the previous week, and they're kind of wrong as fuck. So, not horribly wrong, but they get a lot of, because it's just predictions. As Al Pacino said, any given Sunday.
Any given Sunday.
Well, then let me do this then. Since we kind of fell into the sports thing, Serena Williams.
Oh, Serena.
Yeah.
The
GOAT. Yes.
Absolutely the GOAT. Absolutely.
G-O-A-T.
Yes.
And yes.
What a run.
What a run.
Indeed. It was so cool to see her playing with her sister. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Hail the queen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hail the queen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're mad, because you can't beat her.
Right.
You're mad because you can't beat her.
Mm-hmm.
And you will never beat her.
Exactly.
Good note to end on there, Professor.
Yeah. Doctor.
Doctor Professor.
Doctor Professor.
He's gonna need Mr. Doctor.
Yeah.
Doctor Professor. Wait, what?
Mr. Doctor Professor?
Hey, Professor, there ain't no black people in this like Frankenstein Shelley shit.
Oh, but he pointed out there was one.
You know what?
There's no Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, right.
Frankenstein? He probably has some black parts.
Oh, no.
Mm. Sweet mystery of life, at last I found you.
Wow. Dirty joke to end the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. While my cohorts recoil in terror, I just want to say thank you for listening. We appreciate you. We did sports. Next week, we're probably going to do politics. We're lining up a special guest to talk about, among other things, what's going on in Haiti. So this next time, it'll be one to grow on. We'll see you. Welcome back, Mark Abbott.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
And that's it for us.